As Margaret Mead said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. At Red Compass Labs, we believe in the power of data and expertise to fight the most heinous crimes, such as human trafficking and child sexual exploitation. In this podcast series, we talk about financial crime with people who care and want to make a difference. I'm Jonathan Bell, and this is A Few Thoughtful People by Red Compass Labs. I'm delighted to have with me on A Few Thoughtful People today, Brad Moult, who is Head of Partnerships from ICMEC Australia. And we'll dig into a little bit about what that role means and what ICMEC Australia is all about. Welcome, Brad. Thank you for joining. And Sylvia Krapina from Red Compass Labs. She is our head of our financial intelligence unit and is our resident expert on all things related to what we call Red Flag Accelerator, a leading industry resource for the knowledge of how and what you're looking for to detect some of these crimes in the data running through our financial system. So welcome, Sylvia. Welcome, both of you, this morning. So we're here to talk about CSE. In a world of many acronyms, CSE is child sexual exploitation. And it is a subject that is deep and dreadful. And we want to do what we can to find it, to detect it, and to prevent it around the world. Brad is joining us from Australia. So maybe, Brad, if I could ask you to kick off for us. CSE is getting a lot of attention in Australia. And can you just give us a little bit of a background of maybe ICMEC Australia, where ICMEC came from, and what your role is there? Maybe just set the scene for us on the state of play as from your perspective of child sexual exploitation today in Australia. Brad, thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. I mean, there are lots of acronyms, and it's really good to get a clear message across to people who may not be so familiar with this type of crime that we're so keen to address. And ICMEC stands for the International Centre for Missing and Exploited Children, and we exist to make the world safer for children wherever we can. And ICMEC's been around for 20 years globally, but it had no office in Australia until about 18 months ago. Our existence and our focus in Australia really comes from the fact that we're funded in Australia by one of Australia's largest banks, that's Westpac, and they have a program called Safer Children and Safer Communities. And so they've leaned in and they've given us some funding and asked us to focus on what they call midstream work, which is really improving industry collaboration and capability in the community response to child sexual exploitation. And our particular focus is on the detection, reporting, and prosecuting of those who would offend against children. So our work really focuses on bringing together wonderful people who want to lean in and help with the community response to CSE. They include people from financial services, law enforcement, regulators, and academics. So we have a program to help those people to collaborate and to get results in making the world a bit safer for children.
Yeah, thank you, Brad. It's tremendous work, and we're delighted to be part of it over recent months working with you guys. Sylvia, can I just bring you into it? Again, thanks for joining us today. So Red Flag Accelerator, can you just give us a 30-second intro to what Red Flag Accelerator is all about?
Thank you. Of course, how to say it short in a short way. So Red Flag Accelerator is a tool, and this tool helps banks to know what to look for and how to find it when it comes to these types of very complex financial crimes, such as child sexual exploitation. And in terms of just knowing or just seeing this information, what to look for, it's not always enough. So what we are helping banks with is we are consolidating all information that is out there, all the red flags that are published by different regulators, by law enforcement agencies, and other players in the market. And we consolidate, enhance, and enrich this information. And then it's not just only taking out the time from analysts that they would spend reading and analyzing those reports. It's also helping understanding how better to implement it, meaning that we are applying a methodology, how and who is acting in different ways when it comes to those crimes. Who is the actors? What are they doing? To try to help to understand the context, how these crimes operate.
Right. Thank you. So it's It's helping to articulate for the banks particularly, and there are many parties that collaborate in the detection and prevention of some of these crimes. It's helping the banks in particular to know what is happening in the traffic that runs through their systems and what the banks can do to detect and therefore close off some of these transactions that are running through. Okay, great. Thank you. So CSE specifically. So Sylvia, what does Red Flag Accelerator have to say about child sexual exploitation in particular? Is that one of the slices of information that you're providing through Red Flag Accelerator? And can you just give us a little bit of context about the state of CSE over the last few years, in Britain where we are and around the world a little bit?
Sure. So starting with the first question, in terms of how much of this crime type our Red Flag Accelerator covers at the moment. So I think it's very important to understand that what we understand with human crimes, that is not just one type of typology or one way how it presents itself in the world. The same applies to child sexual exploitation. So there are many ways, many countries involved, many different actors involved. So there is no just one way how it operates. And actors, sets of the actors who are involved in these crimes also differs country on country, type of the crime, and what is the goal of those criminals involved in this. So we do have one typology, how we call it. Other people understand that as a crime type or category. And then we have six scenarios at the moment, but each country would have slightly different flavor of that. So who do you have participating in that? Is that live stream? Is that CSAM? Is that domestic grooming? There are many shapes and forms that these crimes can take. The second part of the question was about how it presents itself across the world. And I think Brad probably is even better to talk about different kind of law and regulatory perspectives and stages where different countries are at. So there are definitely varied picture across the globe when it comes to those crimes, starting from the regulators to different sets of legislative instruments, and also when it comes to financial crime, because in some countries it's recognized as part of financial crime when it generates some illicit proceeds. In some other countries, that's more treated as cybercrime. And there's a bunch of countries as well where probably this is not necessarily regulated at all, and there are different gaps around that. So it's very global crime. And when there's like differences in the legal landscape, sometimes it's really, really difficult, I think, for people to go after it.
Really good point. Differences around the world. And I guess there's different people in this play, this tragic play. And Brad, I guess if you could just elaborate a little bit for us on how does this look in Australia? I mean, typically with these crimes, I think we're seeing that sadly, the countries in the West consume lots of this material that's often generated abroad. But that's not the whole picture, right? I mean, how are these types of crimes, these CSE incidents, how are we seeing those? What's that looking like from an Australian perspective, Brad?
Yeah, so I think that's a really important question, Jonathan, and I thought it was really good that Sylvia touched on that point of the different legislative environments, and that extends more broadly in the ICMAC world than just the financial crime regulations, but also the very fact of whether child sexual exploitation is defined as a crime, because in some countries it isn't. And one of the things that ICMAC has done globally and invested in progressively over time is comparative legislation, and that then becomes a change driver for countries that maybe haven't got the right legislation in place, which then debilitates their response to these abuses of children. Now, Australia is very lucky that it does have a well-developed legislative environment for crimes against children, and more recently has taken action on the risk that financial services systems are being used by those who would exploit children to pay for abuse materials and live streaming. Now, because it's a borderless crime, that crime could be happening inside Australia, or it could be happening anywhere on the planet who has an internet connection, for example. So we're very conscious of that, and we have a very concentrated banking system in Australia. So some of the banks here are very large, some of the 50th type ranked banks in the planet. So given that, they've got a deep capability with about 25,000 staff in some cases. So that means that they can look into this type of crime, which is quite hard to detect You can imagine with live streaming, paying for a child to be abused, it may not be a high value transaction. It might have a certain regularity, and it might be meaning there's transactions going to particular countries that may not be your own country in certain cases. And so our AML CTF regulator, AUSTRAC, which has proven itself to be a global leader in this area, first issued guidance on the risk that banks were carrying this type of transaction in 2019, and then they've again issued guidance in late 2022 to provide an update on changing risk. And we've also seen in Australia, this might be amusing to people around the world, we have a thing called a Royal Commission, where the government appoints a judge to actually look into the behaviour of banks. So we had a very embarrassing Royal Commission into the banking system, and that provided a lot of interest in the behaviour of banks. And I guess the positive upshot of all of that was that there's more broad interest in banks about sustainability and their social license. And so they're much more likely to lean in on some of these crimes, even though the financial impact of them may not be huge to a bank. They're very worried about the reputational risk of them.
Oh, that's great. And that's interesting about the Royal Commission. Every time I hear an Australian talk about things royal, I wonder how long that will stand. And I won't tell King Charles anything about certain conversations that certain Australians, not saying you, have had with me about whether he should still be their king or will be for much longer. But yeah, that's good. So the regulators in Australia, so AUSTRAC, is something of a leader in this space, which is brilliant. So helping to define the way this needs to be done and drive the banks to participate more. So banks are a big part of the problem, right? And they're seeing the traffic, but maybe they're not really looking at it, and therefore they're not seeing what's behind the data, which is, I think, Sylvia, some of what you're talking about comes in the Red Flag Accelerator. But it's not just the banks, right? So Brad, you're head of partnerships at ICMEC there, and solving these crimes is a multi-party, it needs a team effort, right? So it's multiple people. So we've talked about the regulators, we've talked a little bit about the banks. So who else is involved in this connection of organisations and parties that needs to address this? Brad, just back to you again a little bit, just to fill in that circle. Who are the players that we're trying to get organised to help contribute to this fight?
Yeah, I happen to be sitting at a technology conference run by the Queensland Police Service, which is one of the Australian states, right now. So you'd have to put law enforcement as very high on that list. They want to collaborate with industry on data exchange, and they also want to collaborate on intel, new MOs and things like that. And the banks are hungry for that information, to be fair. I mean, it's hard to characterise the banks as part of the problem. They do not want to carry these transactions, but that doesn't mean to say the transactions are easy to detect. That means effort is required. And that's where this collaborative work becomes into play, really front and centre. So in our collaboration working groups, for example, to respond to CSE, we have the big banks, we have remitters, overseas remitters, we have smaller banks, we have, as I mentioned, the police forces, we have the regulators, and we all, interestingly, also have academics who our Australian Institute of Criminology has a specific department looking at CSE research, and the other players in the spectrum of response really find that research a very helpful dimension, because it gives them quantification, it gives them insights into behaviour that they wouldn't otherwise have. And so that's why we introduced the Red Flag Accelerator to Australian banks. And so that's where it was a real opportunity to meet their needs, to have more regular insight and to have a solid basis for looking at typologies, because one of the things banks do typically is look at the risk spectrum that they're covering and how much of the risk they're not covering. So they find an outside view of what the behavioural typologies are very, very helpful. And as you know, Jonathan, we did a wonderful COVID-style roadshow around Australian banks and ended up with 22 banks that had started using the Red Flag Accelerator as part of their input to risk management with regard to child sexual exploitation, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it is fantastic. It's just great collaboration and very hopeful it's going to make even more of a dent into these crimes. So thanks, Brad. Sylvia, a question for you. We're talking about Australia, and we're talking about the many different parties getting involved to fight against this, and the profile is pretty high in Australia. This isn't just an Australian problem, is it? I mean, have we got this solved in Europe? Is this not a problem for us in Europe, or do people know about it? Is it happening? Tell us, what's going on? Not just Australia,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a question, is it solved? I wish we would live and see a day when it would be. Today, it really is not at all, as all financial crime, and specifically, I think, the complex crimes, such as CSC, such as human trafficking, they are just barely getting properly understood in terms of what needs to be done and who needs to actually do things about that. I think the complexity in terms of CSC is, like I mentioned earlier, it's global crime. So who is actually the person who is responsible, accountable, which organization needs to do what, in what kind of legal grounds you can do certain things. So there are loads and loads of barriers across the way as well. All the hurdles that you need to jump over when you're kind of taking that sprint. And in terms of who is doing better and who is doing worse, I don't necessarily think that's a fair comparison, but I think Australia is leading the way, certainly, from what we see from regulatory involvement. In Canada, lots of things happened as well. Really, really great input. And other countries are starting to take those lessons as well and expanding and trying to work out locally and also globally how to collaborate, how to work together.
So that's a good point. That's a good point, isn't it? So it's happening all around the world, and some countries consume more and other countries generate more. But that doesn't mean it's only the kids in far-flung corners who are suffering. I guess what we're seeing, and from talking with both of you over recent months, something that starts online and might look like, well, that's just images on a screen, but somebody's being abused behind that in order to see that on a screen. And that typically, sadly, what you see is what starts off as a virtual activity becomes real, and the suffering becomes real for other people as this perpetuates. It beggars belief, really, if you stop to think a bit harder about it.
Exactly. If I can add there that you asked as well about Europe, and Europe sometimes feels like, oh yeah, we have things sorted and there's like very strong legal instruments there. But as we hear from different reports as well, when we talk about CSAM, then Europe is the place where the hub is, where the most of this material actually is stored. And then, yeah, Europe cannot just, you know, the work here is done. We are really, really good. There are lots of issues there as well. Maybe slightly different than in other geographies.
So there's a heck of a lot of work to do in Europe to get on top of this. And yeah.
Just interjecting on that point, part of the advantage of being at the conference that I'm at now is we get to hear from the Australian Federal Police. And one of the things that they're able to tell us about the Philippines is that the leading source of offenders who are paying for live streaming into the Philippines, that actually ends up subject to police activity. The leading country is the United States as the source. The second leading country is the United Kingdom. And then sadly, Australia is the third source, which given Australia's relative population size is very disappointing indeed. And that's why we have AFP, the Australian Federal Police has people stationed in the Philippines to help the Philippines police force to address this issue.
Wow, that's a roll call you don't want to be on, isn't it? The US, the UK and Australia are leading the way in generating this information. Oh my goodness. Well, listen, we're getting through our time here. So what have we talked about? There's many different components to these crimes. The victims are children, and we've got to do all we can to protect them. There are barriers. There are many people who need to contribute to, and Australia, I think we can say, is leading the way on how to do this, and we can take those learnings and apply those around the world. And we must do better. We must do a better job. We can often think this is someone else's kids. And then it's happening far away. And the reality is it's kids in our street, often in our houses, as Brad said, anybody with an internet connection. And it's all too easy to find this and for people to fall into this willingly or otherwise. So there's work to be done to get on top of it. And I guess we're pretty much out of time. Sylvia, just any closing thoughts from you before we wrap up this installment? We might have to have Brad back on and talk some more about this. We're only just getting started, but we can come back to that. Sylvia, just any closing thoughts from you for today's conversation?
Closing, as usual, is always call to action. And we work primarily with banks, so we invite all banks, big and small, across the world, start doing something in this space. We have information, Brad has information. So just let's start doing something together and let's not reinvent the wheel. Information is out there.
Thank you, Sylvia. Brad, any last comments from yourself today?
I would echo that. The problem is a wicked one. It is very complex and no one's got all of the answers. So I think that grabbing the tools that are available to help, such as the Red Flag Accelerator, are a really good starting point for banks. The banks can also think about the economic arguments to help children and the plight of children, because that has a long-term effect on their banking prospects. They can also think about some of the staff arguments, because if you work for a bank, it's fantastic to be able to do social good. We see in working with Australian banks that the people who are leaning in finding that extremely motivating. So I would say look into it. There are plenty of resources, and take some action, please, for the sake of children. It's one child at a time that we can remove from this harm.
Yeah, exactly.
And there was one quote I really, really liked from a recent film, which said, "It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a global village to save a child from online child sexual exploitation." And I think that's something everybody can take on board.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? It absolutely applies. Well, thank you both. I guess just in closing, from my perspective, this is an awful subject, but it's very real, and it's very real right now for far too many young kids around the world, not just around the world, but in our own home countries and neighbourhoods too. I think just the thought at the outset of this little podcast, a few thoughtful people can make a difference. Brad, with the ICMEC team and colleagues in Australia, are working to make a difference. Sylvia, with her Red Flag Accelerator team, working at Red Campus Labs, and colleagues in the UK and around Europe, are working to make a difference. The fact that you've taken the time, oh listener, to join us on this podcast and listen and learn a little shows that you're part of this small group of a few thoughtful people. So I would like to thank you for joining us on today's podcast. You can make a difference. Information is available. It is out there. There are parties to lean on. There's a process to lean into, to use Brad's phrase, which is a really good one, to get involved, to help. If you're inside a bank, you can talk to us. You can talk to us at Red Campus Labs about how to amplify the ability to detect and prevent these crimes. If you're working in law enforcement, there's work to be done to close the gap between the different parties involved here, from the banks to the regulators to vendors who are processing some of this traffic as it goes through, as well as, of course, law enforcement. So do get involved. I mean, please don't be disheartened, downbeat. You can make a difference. Together, we must make a difference, and we will. If you'd like to continue to be part of this conversation, which surely will run and run, do join us at ACAMS over in Miami, Florida, between May 9th and 11th, where we'll be hosting a panel discussion with Brad and Sylvia and a fellow guest from Fifth Third Bank in the USA. So we hope to see you there. Thank you for listening to A Few Thoughtful People podcast by Red Campus Labs. If you've enjoyed this discussion, please show your support by following us on your chosen audio platform. We also encourage you to join the discussion on our LinkedIn Red Flag Accelerator page. That's all for this episode. See you next time.